From the newsroom of Impact Alpha, I'm Brian Walsh, and this is your Impact Briefing for Friday, September 8th. On today's show, David Bank catches up with Robert Munson, who as head of the Sorensen Impact Center, is putting together next month's SOCAP gathering in San Francisco. But first, here's what you need to know from this week in Impact Investing. Climate change and Africa are on the agenda in Nairobi this week. Africa Climate Week kicks off the fall schedule of climate meetings, leading to COP28 in the United Arab Emirates in December. While renewable energy financing is commonplace in many regions, it is just coming to Africa. So reports Impact Alpha's Jessica Pothering and Lucy Ngigi from Nairobi. Catch their full report on impactalpha.com. Impact fund managers are scaling up to absorb and deploy capital. This month's list of open impact funds included five managers raising nine-figure funds. Farmland LP is raising $250 million to speed the conversion of farmland to certified organic. On the smaller size, the Decarceration Fund is looking to raise up to $25 million to back between a dozen or more early-stage ventures in what is becoming known as Justice Tech. The companies are focused on reducing individuals' entry into the criminal justice system and increasing successful transitions out. And the race is on for climate-friendly jet fuel. Lydian, based in Cambridge, Massachusetts, raised $15 million for its zero-carbon aviation fuel. It's just one of several startups proving out their alternatives to traditional fuel in hopes of big advanced purchases from the airlines. Lydian runs captured carbon plus water through a high-temperature electric reactor. And now let's hear David Bank's conversation with Robert Munson of the Sorensen Impact Center.
Robert Munson, welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, David, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to talk with you.
You're the managing director of the Sorensen Impact Center at the University of Utah and also the president of SOCAP Global, and SOCAP 23 is coming up next month, and I want to get your thoughts on that. I was thinking about SOCAP this week when all the news came out about Burning Man and the rain and the floods, and SOCAP sometimes called the Burning Man of impact investing, possibly more when it was over at Fort Mason, frankly, than down at Yerba Buena, downtown San Francisco. But what do you think of that analogy at this point?
Yeah, well, I was watching the same thing as we all have, just all of the rain and the mud, and thinking about how lucky we were last year in San Francisco with our weather, hoping we get the same thing. It was warm and sunny every day. But yeah, look, the origins of SOCAP are radical. I mean, 15 years ago, it was a band of highly intelligent, fed-up people who got together and, sort of untethered by the norms of capitalism, wanted to start a movement. And that's appropriate, right, to San Francisco. And it's the reason why we're still there and why we still have those conversations. I think it's important to remain focused on the future. I think it's important to still be a home to new and, yes, radical notions of what we should be in our world. We combine that now with, you know, the mainstreaming of impact. We combine that with executing and scaling, not just ideating. So we're evolving with the field.
You have an interesting perspective coming into this, long history of working in strategic communications and marketing. You can tell us about the background, but you don't come from impact investing per se or this movement. So I'm kind of interested in, you know, what you've learned in the couple of years you've been running the Sorensen Impact Center, and what your sort of outsider perspective might be.
Yeah, I think in some ways we're all new to impact. I mean, it's a 10-year-old field, so chances are pretty good we all came to this place from a variety of different origins. And I think that's one of the really compelling strengths of impact. We're not a homogenous group. We don't all come from the same place in the same professional vertical. And I hope that continues. I don't think we can scale and grow unless we're a big tent. You know, we're far from where we need to be. And we're not going to get there unless we're a welcome place for people from all from all backgrounds. And that was true for me. I my background is in politics and sports. Those are not exactly fields that are known for being centered on wellness and for the planet and for people. But the evolution for me has always been finding and identifying a North Star, which is about having an impact beyond the four walls of the organization in which I work. That's kind of a frustrating thing these days. It's hard to find that in our society. Impact is a place where you can find that. There's more than hope. There's more than just a dream. There's a tangible future. There's something that you can actually hold on to. We have solutions. So that's very attractive to me. And I think it's why you see so many people from so many places come to SOCAP and convenings like that, because there just aren't many places like that left in the world today.
The Sorensen Impact Center, I know, was a longtime investor in SOCAP. And then as it was restructured, kind of coming out of the pandemic, now runs it. And you are the president of SOCAP Global. But just tell us a little bit about the Sorensen Impact Center so we can understand who's running SOCAP Global.
Yeah, so the Sorensen Impact Center grew out of one of the nation's first student venture funds at the University of Utah, which started roughly 15 years ago. And then Jim Sorensen, who you know and many know in the field as a pioneer in impact, endowed that program about a dozen years ago. And out of that grew this multi-dimensional consultancy research and training center, now known as the Sorensen Impact Center. Today, we really focus on helping clients move capital to impact and in training future leaders in impact. And so we have an active academic and student training program, along with a staff of some of the brightest minds in impact who are innovating alongside our partners and clients around the world. SOCAP was an interesting development for us. It was unexpected. It's not something we were looking at, wasn't something we were looking for. In fact, I was driving home from the office late in 21, I guess it was, and our CEO, Jeff Davis, called me and he said, what do you think about taking over SOCAP? And I said, I think I said, heck yeah, that'd be amazing. What is the opportunity? And he said, I don't really know. There's something there for us. Would you take a look, analyze the opportunity, see if it's something we need to get into? And it took a while for us to get through the process to really analyze it. But ultimately, as you said, we were able to be, I think, the appropriate partner at the right time for SOCAP to kind of help it get out of a pretty challenging space after the pandemic.
What's going to be different this year for folks who are used to maybe the old SOCAP? What's going to be different?
Yeah, the pre-pandemic SOCAP, as you said, we're in a different facility now. So we're centered around the YVCA in downtown San Francisco, which has been a wonderful host for us. And we utilize a number of buildings that are all encircle a garden around the YVCA. And in fact, we're adding a new facility this year, the Contemporary Jewish Museum, which is across the street from the YVCA. We made the move for a lot of different reasons, but the number one reason was accessibility. We need it to be more accessible for our audiences. We need it to be more efficient in our operations. And this really allowed us to do that by moving to this new area. And it was really well received last year. David, I was pretty nervous about it. I mean, it had been decided it was moving to the YBCA before we took over, so we didn't really have a choice. But I knew how much people had invested time and resources and just memories into the old facility, and moving to something new was risky. But it worked out. Most, if not all, the feedback we received is really positive. And so we're going to expand on that a little bit this year with some new facilities some new programming.
And tell us about the programming. I know you've gone through a whole process to sort of develop the content this year.
Yeah, we have. We've really, really focused this year on improving our content. We want to be at an elite level with our discussions and our speakers. And so my colleague, Michelle Ravelo, has come in to take over on the content strategy side. And what we ended up doing is, I think we have 12 tracks this year, 9 topical and 3 regional. And with each of those tracks, we brought in a curation council. So there's three or four experts in each of those fields. It's really a who's who of impact. If you go to our website and look at the curation councils, it's an impressive group of people who have volunteered their time to help us do this. And they have worked for the last 6 months in curating and developing content for SOCAP. We'll have expert moderators at each panel, top level speakers, really digging into the content. That's exciting for us. This will be the first year that SOCAP has been a true 3-day conference. So we're going to start Monday morning at 9 a.m. and we're going to end Wednesday night. Monday morning, we'll have something that I'm really, really looking forward to. We're going to have an opening ceremony, an opening land ceremony, and that's going to be brought to us by our partners at Raven Indigenous Fund. We think it's important to recognize where we are in a way that's appropriate. And we think Raven is just going to be an amazing partner to help lead that for us. So we'll start at 9 a.m. Monday. That's new. And then we'll have a big party Wednesday night. And in between, hopefully, we will learn a lot, collaborate a lot, and catalyze some innovations.
We talked earlier about the big tent, so to speak, and some people talk about sort of the tribes of SOCAP, somewhat similar to the tribes of Burning Man, as we said, but people come at it from different perspectives. I know last year we had a podcast like this from SOCAP itself with Monique Akin, our contributing editor at Impact Alpha and co-host of the podcast, and also Rodney Foxworth, from Common Future at that time, who's on SOCAP's board. And Rodney was saying he really wanted to interrogate impact investing. That one of the reasons for joining the SOCAP board was really to kind of challenge impact investing, and particularly around equity and inclusion, but more broadly around sort of power and control. I wonder whether that theme will thread through this year as well.
Yeah, Rodney's an amazing partner and board member for us, and he certainly has pushed us. And I think, I mentioned earlier, it would be comfortable for us to settle in, right, to the mainstreaming of our field. And I don't think that's the role that SOCAP plays particularly well within impact. We have to reflect the realities of impact. And so our content and our programming certainly reflects the mainstreaming, because that's the goal, right? We all want to get to the place where impact is embedded in everything we do. At the same time, we've got to be one of those entities that helps move impact forward. And questions of power and control are central to, you'll find many, if not all, of the discussions that we have at SOCAP this year. And it's part of the reason why we went to a curation council. I frankly don't feel comfortable with SOCAP, our staff, the 8 or 9 of us, as global and diverse as we may be, suddenly acting as the arbiters of truth within impact and deciding what should and what shouldn't be discussed at a conference that I think is relatively important in our space. And so by spreading this out to a much larger and much more diverse group of people, I think we're going to get closer to the truth of what we should be talking about. Some of those things we can expect. Some of those things may be unexpected and may really push our thinking to another level. We have to keep doing that. And I don't think you do that with a homogenous group of people. I think you have to bring a diverse group of people with diverse perspectives together. And it's one of the strengths of SOCAP.
Well, so many entities and organizations, including Impact Alpha, in various ways trace their roots to SOCAP. That's where I kind of dived in, first as a reporter, and then later, obviously, with Impact Alpha, into this whole field. So there's a rich history, and Robert Munson and Sorensen Impact Center taking it forward. We're eager to see what this year's SOCAP brings. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, my pleasure, David. Thanks for having me, and looking forward to seeing you in San Francisco.
That's going to do it for this week's Impact Briefing. Thanks to David, Robert, and our producer extraordinaire, Isaac Silk. Sign up for Impact Alpha Open, our free weekly newsletter, directly at impactalpha.com, or become a subscriber to get full access to our award-winning daily coverage in impact investing and sustainable finance. Just go to impactalpha.com/subscribe. For now, I'm Brian Walsh. Be sure to check back for next week's briefing. Until then, take good care.